Welcome to this episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast. If you've ever wondered how we pick our guest, mainly it's due to curiosity. We will see something in someone and go, there's something about you that we need to know. And we believe that our viewers and our listeners need to know as well. And this is certainly the case in Hannah Keller. I had no idea until I recorded this episode how rich of a recording this was going to be in information. I noticed Hannah during the summer because her dad lives across the street from me, and she was working three part-time jobs. Now, three part-time jobs. Don't hear about that very often these days. And she was reaching out to me about something she was selling, and she just had a way of approaching me that I said, I want to learn more about Hannah. And also, Hannah is the member of a marketing fraternity called DECA at the University of South Carolina. And back in my recruiting days, which I'm going to have more very soon because we're going to be adding, but back in my recruiting days in the corporate world, if I'd known about DECA, I would have camped out at their graduation ceremony at University of South Carolina and hung out wherever they were. Because when you listen to this, these are the type of people that we need to be hiring and giving opportunities to. So listen in and enjoy. Hannah, thank you so much for being on this episode with me.
Absolutely. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, we have moved this around a couple times through my schedule, your schedule. But this is one that I said, this one has to happen. So I'm so excited to have you on here as a guest.
Absolutely. I'm glad we could work it out.
So I'm going to jump right in. And you are, your dad lives across the street from, on the corner across from my place.
Yeah.
And there's some things that I didn't know about you. I knew some things, you like watched out for my son during some game they played.
senior assassin back in the day.
Yeah, senior shots and those kind of things. Now what, but I'll tell you what I saw. And that was when I heard that you worked three jobs. And now you were going to meet at my house and show me a presentation about something you were selling. Now, very few people, I've been in the business world a long time. Very few people have this, one, do they have the work ethic of that? And two, you presented to me in a way that was not pushy. It was not over the top. In fact, I felt I wanted to meet with you about that, but then we got disconnected on it. So Hannah, where are you getting your work ethic from?
That's a good question. I've always been like that ever since I was little. Like when I was 5 or 6, I'd melt crayons on rocks with my mom and sell them as paperweights because she ran her own business. So it was always around an entrepreneurial environment. And then I was always the youngest too. I'm an only child, but I have a really late birthday. So I was the latest to get a car and the latest to be able to work. So I always felt so behind. I was like, I'm going to be the best there is once I'm in there. And that's just kind of stuck with me since. But my first job was at Chick-fil-A in Carowinds, an amusement park. It's quite the first job. I was never one to really back down from a challenge after that. So it's just kind of continued through school and through jobs as well.
Tell me about the first job. What was it like working at Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A was, it was a good experience. The Carowinds environment was very intense. Obviously, there was a lot going on all the time. Kind of monotonous because there was only 3 things we could sell and only 3 different places to be on shift. So as a 15-year-old, my attention span was really hard to keep. So it really taught me a lot of patience. But I worked at multiple locations. I kind of floated between different locations because I could do more or less everything they needed me to. So I'd work at Baxter in Expo. I'd work at Carowinds. I worked at the Rivergate area location as well. But I'd pick up as many hours as I possibly could. I worked overtime on accident once. So I had to re-log those hours for the next week because I didn't know any better. But it was a good experience. It taught me a lot. I'm still really close with my boss there. He's one of my best friend's brother's best friends. So I see him all the time. He's an entrepreneur himself as well. So I've just always been around those kind of people.
You know, I had a chance to meet Truett Cathy one time.
Really?
Like he was sitting on the corner for me at a table. Chick-fil-A is my understanding is Chick-fil-A does a really good job of how they train people and how to engage with customers. Now, yeah. I know your setting was different, but obviously you did a great job with it because they kept using you at different places. Did they do... Was there did they teach you how to engage with customers? And what are some of the key points you saw from that?
One thing I think was really interesting about Chick-fil-A in comparison to the other jobs I've had is it was the only job that I've ever had a group interview with. That was the first thing they did. They put you in a group. Obviously, like you introduce yourself, got to know each other, and then it was scenario based. So you would have to work in these partners. And a lot of us, it was our first job. So it was really uncomfortable, but it was a good place to really get out of your comfort zone. It was scenario based. If you were the manager, if you were the customer, and there was a lot of positive, negative feedback, but it was very constructive. So even before the job was actually decided, they were coaching us on how to communicate and how to be respectful in that way. But I learned a lot at the Baxter side because we're one of the best locations and ratings on the East Coast. So it was very intense, but very particular about how we engage. Managers would take time with everybody in training every week to just be like, what's the best thing that happened? What's the worst thing that happened? How are you going to grow from it? So there is a lot of constructive team building there. They're very particular about how they treat their employees and how they want their employees to treat other people. So that was definitely something that taught me like the balance between working really hard and then making sure that you're working with other people.
Are those listeners or viewers out there that are in my age range or older or a little bit younger, please listen to what she just said. Hannah, I just learned a ton in that 2-minute conversation you had, because that was your first job. They could have given you an impression about working somewhere that could have said, altered. They could have
altered
your view of working. And that whole scenario based and then given feedback before you're even hired, that's not done very often.
Yeah, it's probably one of the main factors. I didn't really think about it until this conversation, but that is probably what drove me to continue seeking out work, because it was such a good experience.
Now, I'm going to get to later on what you are looking toward in the future. And it's okay. Don't be thinking about it now, because a lot of people say, so what are you going to do when you graduate? And it's a little bit of if you don't know, you don't know. Just say, for example, you are running a business or you're a CEO somewhere and you're hiring people. Would you use the same interview process that they did?
I think with our generation specifically, I think it is really helpful, because a lot of the issue with communication with our generation is finding common ground. So if you put everybody in a scenario where everybody's uncomfortable, but it's meant to be a teaching environment, that is a really good place to be. That's the best experiences I've had. But I would say if I ran my own business, I definitely adopt a similar model. I would probably do it in smaller groups. That was my only thing that I wasn't 100% about, because it was about 12 people. So there was a lot going on with a lot of different opinions and whatnot. But I would probably do like a 4-to-5 group with the same concept and more of like a little case comp kind of thing before whatever job, like if it was marketing or consulting based, just kind of see how people work together and try to give them feedback that way.
What were the scenarios? Say you're running a business. Would you do it based on scenario, based on the interaction with the customer, or is it technical knowledge? What were the scenarios based on, or what would you base them on?
I think you can do both, but I think the best thing to do initially would be how you interact with the customer, because a lot of the information base can be taught. So if there's customer service skills lacking, that's something that's hard to bring back at that point. But you want to see who works best with what kinds of people and how they react to pressure. I think that's a really big thing that's kind of like starting to decline, is a lot of people aren't as good under pressure anymore because of however situations they've grown up in. So learning that from the get-go is really important, I think, because there's a lot of pressure that you don't realize when you're working anywhere. So just being able to be comfortable and confident in yourself and trying to see that in people before you hire them, I think that's really important.
Yeah, it sure is. And like you said, these days, the pressure, the being pitted against one another, the anxiety, we're living in that world. I didn't rather mention it because we're living in it, but you're so refreshing and just cutting through that. So you were selling, and you don't have to mention what you were selling to me, but your approach. So you say you show up, what you're going to do?
Yeah.
You knock on my door and you show up and you're going to say, okay, you're going to sell me something. How would you sell me something? What approach would you use?
So what I learned, the best approach that has worked for me in that environment specifically, is finding a problem before pushing a product. That's something I believe in heavily. I've talked to a lot of recruiters and whatnot about it. I've heard that question a bunch, but I think it's really important to solve a need before you come in with a product, because you're sitting there with the catalog and you say, you know, this and this could help you, but you have nothing to back it because you don't know the scenario. If you take the time to know the scenario for whatever their problem is, whatever their household issue is, you're building customer relation, you're making them more comfortable, you're getting more comfortable, so it's going to be easier to have a real conversation. It's going to be easier to sell if that is your end goal. And even if you're just trying to build customers and network, which was a lot of what I was doing, because sales were never guaranteed. So it was a lot of networking, trying to get recommendations, because that's the only way I could work. So that is the main way. Like, I've met so many people I had never met a day in my life that were friends of my dad or friends of my cousin. And I was able to, they're like, they'll still text me today and be like, hey, they have this and this problem. Can you send me over to someone else, even though I don't work for them anymore? So I think that's really important, is just building a relationship off the bat as quickly as you can.
It sure is. Would you lead with a question? Like, if you came in my front door and say, you know what, do you have a problem with this, or do you have a problem with that? How are you going to break the ice to get me to share with you what my challenges are?
A lot of times, so it was easier for me with the job that I had because I did have some personal connections in the beginning. But most of the time, it's just a means of like, hey, how are you? This is how I'm doing. This is how you're doing. This is why I'm here. I want to know how you're doing in this aspect of your life. And then from that point, just kind of take it from there, feel the water a little bit, make sure you're not creating an uncomfortable environment. But an icebreaker can help. A lot of times the question I ask people, like in that scenario, how long has it been since you replaced this? Or have you had any issues with this or this? Or like, how much time do you think you spend on certain activities? Kind of gets people's brains working about things that they might not have considered before you walked in the door. And if you can get them on that train of thought, it's a lot easier to produce a conversation.
Did somebody teach you that, or did you learn it by experimenting with selling?
I mean, there is a training process for the job I was in, but it's a lot of manual, like read this, read this. A lot of the customer interaction knowledge that I have has been from trial and error. I worked really, really briefly when I was 16 for roofing insurance with my cousin. So I went door to door for like 6 hours a day for 2 months and got like 10 signatures. But that broke the ice really quick, because you deal with rejection, you deal with all kinds of stuff when you're going door to door. So that really helped me up until this point to do it in a really professional way now as I'm growing up.
Yeah. You just kind of jumped right in and said, I'm going to figure out what I got, have some training here, but I'm going to use it to figure out what's going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't really tell. You seem like a introverted, extroverted. You seem like a pretty good mix of the two. How would you care? What would you say? Are you either one?
Well, it really depends on the scenario. Normally in a social environment, I am pretty extroverted, but in an, I would say like an intellectual environment, I tend to be like right in the middle. I don't want to be the loudest voice in the room, but I don't want to not share my opinion. So it's really a gauge of the environment around me. But I would say like leaning towards the extroverted side, but not too heavy there.
Yeah, you seem to almost flex it based on, and we've had limited interaction, but you seem to almost adjust it based on who's across from you or the environment. Yeah. You'd referenced earlier something about engaging with your group, mm-hmm. your age group. And look, I do want to say this too, with the listeners and the viewers. One of the things I do is I don't like labels. I do not like labels. I don't like age group labels. I don't like, you name it, any kind of label. And I'm not going to mention some because it might upset you. It might, you know how that goes. You're going to be careful with them. I want to ask you that. So I'm going to go out and hire some people in your age group. Say I'm going to do that with some of the business interest. And you could say, hey, Jade, I'm going to give you a little bit of coaching here on how to hire from your group. What would you tell me?
I think right now, especially with like college age kids like myself, there's a really, really high focus on GPA and a really, really low focus on most everything else, which is really hard for some people because some of the smartest people I know have like a 3-1 and they can blow me out of the water in any class. They just don't want to, you know? Some people, they have their own career aspirations, like entrepreneurial aspirations, but I think it's really important to focus on the experience that they've had, whether that be professional or not, the experience, leadership, it's like service, volunteering, all that kind of stuff, that really lets you know what kind of person they are, how they want to be perceived based on that experience. If they're trying to go out and do this, this, and this, but they haven't been able to get a job, you still have the opportunity to kind of see how they're trying to portray themselves. So I think it's important to take that whole overview of a person, especially, and kind of what we talked about earlier. I really like the idea of group interactions and interviews and whatnot, especially for younger people, because it makes it more comfortable, but also you can see that kind of personality come out in a healthy way. So that's what I would say. I would say really focus on the big picture for a lot of people, because I think there's a lot of talent that goes under the radar in a lot of different aspects, especially business, because those numbers do matter so much in things like finance and whatnot. So I think it's really important to take the time to get to know each potential person that you're going to hire. They're going to appreciate it. You're going to end up appreciating it too. So that would be my advice, especially for us.
Cute. Duly noted, because now I know. I went to the lot. The lot, is that the, have you ever been to the lot? Is that, is your fraternity?
Oh no, we don't, but I've been.
I went there on parents' weekend. How much fun that was, and the energy in that
Oh yeah.
place.
I've DJed there one or two times, so it's a good time.
That really opened my eyes to the not just the energy in your group, but it's different than when I was in college there. But it is I'm going to do my best to describe. My wife and I were talking about it. It is a fun, kind of healthy. I mean, yeah, it's the lot. I mean, you know, but it has a good feel. I mean, it's just a fun energy, dancing, music. You don't sense any negative stuff. It just had that great feel to it.
I think there's a lot of community that's happening within our generation, whether that be from whatever factor it is coming from. But I had a similar experience. I went to a music festival last weekend. I was really intimidated, you know, 10,000 some people. I was going with three people, the safest I've ever felt, the best friends I've made probably this year. It's incredible, like what we can build if people just trust each other to be responsible and have a good time. So,
You mentioned intimidating. So I'm
yeah.
58, and my wife was with me, and I walk into the lot, and here's your generation, and I'm going, I don't know. I mean, you know, I was nervous, and they made me feel so welcomed. I told my son, I said, "Son, you guys ought to open that up to parents more often. I mean, we won't show up every weekend, but the feeling that the group gave me, and you described it, I felt safe. I felt welcomed. It was, people need it. My group needs it. And the parents were there. I'm watching the parents and they're going, they're loving every minute of it. Yeah. So it's a community. It's the community that's been created. So you're in a, fraternity? I asked my son, is it a fraternity? Is it a sorority? He goes, no, it's in the business type related, it's called a fraternity. Is that correct? And now tell me what it is.
So it's a co-ed business fraternity. Well, so we started off, I know we started here in 2018, but way back in the day, it was an all-women's fraternity, actually, which is funny now that it's co-ed. But basically what we do, there's a rush process like most fraternities would do. It's a week long, very professionally based. So you'll do anything from speed dating, so quick questions, trying to get to know you, case comps, and then very specific interviews towards the end of the week. And then once rush ends, we usually invite about 18 to 25 members for the pledging process. And that's something I helped out with this year was the rush committee. I was a part of that. So Just getting the word out, like going to the dorms, giving people flyers, going to talk to my classes, presenting about who we were. So it's a very big ordeal every year, very advertising focused, but pledging is a lot of fun. I just came out of it in the spring. It's a very good experience. Like there's interview prep, there's resumes, there's LinkedIn, there's everything you could think of in an environment of people who are businessly, like business inclined, driven, like acclimated to the environment. It's a very good setting. It's challenging, but it's fun. Like you make some really good friends. Two of the people I'm closest to now are in my pledge class last year, but we do pretty much everything the fraternity would do. We do philanthropy, we do fundraising, we do alumni weekend, mountain weekend, all that good stuff. So it's been a great time so far.
Here's another stereotype I'm going to bust for people older than you, okay?
Yeah.
Rush and fraternity sororities, look, my group did some nonsense. They did some nonsense that put a bad label on it. No. It's changed. It's different. I know there's some stuff somebody can call and say, I got it, but it's different. It's a different place and different time and different purpose. And I tell you, to be in a marketing fraternity, I wish I'd done it when I was at South Carolina, but I don't think they had it, but maybe they did, but I wouldn't search them. But that's a great group.
Yeah, it's a very good group of people. Like there's like we also have families. So the same that for those like who know about Greek life, you'll have a big, you'll have littles. But my family are all happen to be accounting majors, which is great for me because I'm not math acclimated at all. So that's been awesome. It's like free tutoring, great group of friends, and being in PCT, like I'm wearing the shirt right now unintentionally, which is funny. But being in PCT has been a blast because then you get connections with all the other business fraternities, which is a bigger network. And we have over 200,000 alumni, which is incredible. You can reach out to them whenever you want. If they respond, they respond. If they don't, they don't. But you've got just about everybody of every possible major who's in the field of business. So it's a great experience.
Yeah, you're a year behind my son. You're a sophomore or a junior?
Yeah, I'm a sophomore.
Is it a little too early to be asking you, you can tell me, JD, don't ask that question because everyone is, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about? What, you have something in mind and direction you're going to go in?
So I'm a marketing major with the sales concentration right now. I don't have a declared minor because I'm potentially going to double major in supply chain. Just haven't taken a class in it yet. So won't know till we try. I think that will be next semester. But my main focus right now, I know I have sales skills. I know I have consulting skills. So I want to kind of try to work in consulting, potentially consulting with wealth management, because I want to be a sports entertainment minor if I can be. So wealth management within that field would be something that would be really interesting for me. But I would say right now, consulting is my main focus. The main internships I've applied for have been sales or consulting. Sales is easier to grab as a sophomore, which is like full honesty, the main reason I'm going for it. As a sophomore, it's hard to get internships that are like directly pertaining to what you want to do. But sales never hurts. So that's kind of the area that I'm leaning towards right now, but I want to end in the consulting route if possible. I'm very, like, because of DECA, I'm very oriented in that way, and I'm learning how to do case comps through PCT, so it's all kind of coming together a lot quicker than some of the other stuff, so I think that's the avenue we're going down.
Okay, when you say case comps, what do you mean by case comps?
So a case comp in my scenario would be So we had one for PCT. I won't explain it thoroughly, but if you have a company and they want you to say, like, should they produce this or this, option A or option B, you put a team of people together and there's a really long research phase if you're doing it properly with a lot of time. But if you're on a time crunch, do a little bit of research, figure out the numbers, the financing and whatnot for the production, the country you're going to or the people you're selling to. And then you break that down in a visual way, usually in a PowerPoint presentation, explain what your marketing tactic would be, what you would price things at, usually a five-year long-term spectrum to kind of see where your head's at. But it can really depend on pretty much anything. Like with DECA, you can do 65 different events. So any case comp is just focused on solving a problem for the most part.
I would think with your entrepreneurial marketing sales, you probably fly through that. You probably hammer that out in a great way, don't you?
I love a case comp. That's why I love DECA so much.
Yeah. I was, I got my MBA from University of South Carolina, by the way.
Awesome.
And they had my favorite class did that.
Yeah.
That he would just describe it, but it wasn't as good as what you guys did, because he would describe a scenario and we'd have to fight for mic time to be able to answer the question. So what you're essentially doing is almost going in and consulting, looking at a situation, consulting, and then coming back with a PowerPoint on here's what you see.
Yeah.
That's good. Oh, by the way, too, I was in supply chain for 30 years.
Were you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we need
to chat.
So
you'd recommend it, I assume.
Yeah, the man I was talking to earlier was he's also in supply chain for longer than I was. I do. If you get in the right situation, especially with consulting, because it is in need of a different kind of approach. But yeah, so if we have a few minutes after this, just hang on for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to ask you about that. All right. So let me end on this. I could go for 2 hours. This is, I could. I'm watching the clock to make sure I don't get beyond the 20 to 30 minute time. And what advice would you give anybody of any age that's starting a business or is in a business? And if you said, here's what you need to do to be successful, what would you say?
I would say the most important thing for a lot of people is you are still learning from failure, even if it happens. I think that's really important to recognize. And especially people my age, our attention spans are getting shorter. Where we mess something up, we don't want to do it again. But that's really important to like continue to grow no matter what happens. I would say if you have an idea that you're passionate in, don't give up on it. If you're just trying to start a business as a passive income, then, I mean, obviously there's a bit of wiggle room there. But if you're passionate about something, you can make it happen. And there's ways to do that. Even if you do fail a couple times, changing your thought process, getting like-minded people around you who want you to succeed as well is really important. Like, I'm a firm believer that your circle of people is a huge influence on who you end up being as a person. So I think that's really important if you are going to start a business to make sure that you have those good people around you. But that's what I would say for the most part, the people and your mindset.
Thank you. I've learned a lot from you. You just covered three topics I'm going to do solos on based on your, I've learned a lot from you in a very short period of time this morning. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. And
what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
For me, it'll probably be my phone number or my school email. I have a couple of different emails, but do you want me to put my phone number out there?
Yeah,
I can.
It's up to you.
I can do phone number and LinkedIn.
My LinkedIn at the end of this call, if you just hang on. So there's people that want to get in touch with Hannah. What I'll have in the show notes, I'll have a link to how they get in touch with you.
Yeah, let's do LinkedIn then.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you. And hang on for me, okay?
I will.
Thank you, Hannah. And this concludes another episode of the Circle of the Panda podcast. If you want to get in touch with Hannah, you can find her on her LinkedIn profile, which will be in the show notes. If you want to find me, you can find me at the Circle of the Panda podcast.com.